BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Hello. In this Moneybox podcast, we expose the unscrupulous companies which are targeting key workers with tax avoidance schemes. They promise them more money using safe ways to pay less tax and national insurance than they should. Some of those targeted are among the reported 40,000 people coming out of retirement to risk their lives to help us all. Anna Meisel has been investigating.
These companies are actively targeting workers returning to the NHS to help with the pandemic, as well as other key workers who work as contractors. To give you an example, one of them says on Twitter, "If you've been drafted in to reinforce the NHS response to the hashtag coronavirus pandemic, we want to assist you." Another tweet says, "COVID-19, could you work as a contact tracer?" Some are offering a sign-up bonus. "Thank you, NHS workers. We're looking to help our wonderful NHS workers in these turbulent times and show our appreciation for the invaluable work being done. Claim your £250 bonus." The adverts are all designed to push key workers towards unscrupulous umbrella companies.
And just remind us what an umbrella company is.
The premise behind an umbrella company is to enable people to work flexibly and undertake a number of contract roles without the hassle of changing employer each time and without the burden of setting up and running their own limited company. Where operating legitimately, it acts as an employer to a number of individuals.
And of course, that's perfectly respectable, and tens of thousands of people use them without avoiding tax.
Yes, the umbrella is an agency. It receives workers' remuneration, pays tax, national insurance contributions and other deductions on their behalf, takes its own fee and then pays them the balance of their wages. Some people choose to work that way. What I have been investigating are the cowboys of the umbrella company industry, those operating on the fringes of the law. Their websites look quite professional. They say they're fully compliant with the current tax law, but the key feature is they promise as to how much money you will be able to take home. In some cases, they say it could be up to 85% of the contract value.
So for every £100 you're paid, you keep £85, but that difference of what, £15, can't pay all your tax, all your national insurance and the umbrella company fee. Do they explain how they do that?
Well, not in any meaningful way. For that, you have to fill out a form before they reveal what they say are the best deals. They ask for your name, number, email address and your daily rate. And then you're told to wait for a call from either a broker or an actual umbrella company. So I did that, and it didn't take long for the call to come through.
Hi Anna, my name's Kay, I'm calling from Dark Blue.
Dark Blue Professional is a UK-registered umbrella company. On their website they say, "Your clients depend on you, you can depend on us."
So really, I just wanted to sort of go through a quote with you.
I told Kay I was going to work for the NHS.
NHS, okay.
And that my day rate would be £145.
Okay, so looking at that then, it would be a 78% return for you. So your take-home pay per day would be 113 and 10 pence. And over a week, that means that we would pay you £565.50.
But I had already done the math and knew that my take-home pay should be around £506 a week and not £565. I should pay £80 in tax, £55 in national insurance contributions, plus a fee to the umbrella company and other deductions. So I asked her how it's possible they can pay me almost £60 more a week.
So when we receive the funds from your agency, we break the payment into two, so that you're not pushed into a higher tax band.
I was curious to know why they would be splitting my salary into two payments.
You receive one payment, which is a PAYE salary payment. That's taxed, then you receive a pay slip, and the residual balance is then paid to you as an investment payment. The investment payment comes from us as your employer, your umbrella company, and because it's done that way, there's no tax liability on the second proportion.
In case you didn't get it, she said that because this second payment is not disclosed on my payslip, I don't have to pay tax on it.
You received the second amount into your personal account and it's and it's all done for you.
So that essentially means that I'm paying less tax overall?
Yeah, because you're only paying tax on the first proportion, which is around £17,000 per year. The amount above that is then paid to you as an investment payment.
Is that legal?
Well, of course, yeah, it's legal and compliant. We do speak to tax counsel to ensure that as well. It's perfectly legal and compliant. We've been running for 12 years now, so it's not anything that's new. You know, providing what you do works within the legislation that's set each year, then you can work in this way to be a little bit more tax efficient.
It's a tax dodge.
It's a tax dodge. Using this structure, the government is cheated out of more than half of the tax they should receive. Kay went on to say that we would sign an investment agreement that says the dark blue professional might ask for a return on that investment in the future. But then she says that they have no intention of asking for it. In other words, this is purely to make the investment payment look genuine and to cheat the taxman. She continues.
We have to be able to show that we could if we wanted to, yes. We haven't to date, but should we wish to in the future, then there has to be that ability. Otherwise, it's a sham. It's just us giving you money under the guise of being an investment payment, which actually isn't an investment payment. And therefore, HMRC would say, well, there should be a tax liability on that because that's income. The benefit of using that kind of service is that for you, you receive an amount which is able to be tax-free. You know, we don't really have any interest in receiving a return on the investment payment, but should we wish to, we could.
But that's extraordinary. She's telling you it's done this way so it's not a sham, but in actual fact, it is a sham.
That's right. She says, we have no financial interest in receiving a return. Well, why would anyone want to make an investment and not want to receive a return on it? It's a way of disguising remuneration. This means that you as a contractor might need to pay all of this unpaid tax in the future with interest and penalties. But Kay said not to worry because they reassigned that investment agreement to an independent trust company in Cyprus.
So it's an independent trust company that we've been using in Cyprus.
The trust is supposed to work in the best interest of the contractor. This is meant to give you some protection that dark blue professional will not ask for the return. The other reason for using a Cyprus trust company, she said, is to protect it from the UK government in case it tries to go after it.
Whether the UK government agrees or not later on, if legislation were to change, it wouldn't affect what we've already had in place because we're using a different jurisdiction. So, you know, if the UK government try and crack down on anything, it becomes very difficult for them to change legislation in a jurisdiction that isn't their own. I mean, that's why we're outside of the UK with the trust company.
Presumably, it won't stop the government from slapping you with a big tax bill.
Exactly. So, in the end, I pointed out to Kay that all this seemed pretty risky to me.
And what did she say?
She admitted there was a risk, but then again, played that risk down.
We have had that in the past. It's just a case of answering the questions that they ask, providing any supporting documentation that, you know, shows that the amounts that you receive are under genuine terms and therefore there's no tax liability. And it hasn't gone any further than that. You know, we've been quite successful in how we've done that. But, you know, it's also, there is the risk that you would receive a letter from HMRC.
What do you know about the fees that Dark Blue Professional is charging?
Well, I ask her just that.
So it's incorporated within the 22% that you don't recover. So it's hard to sort of stipulate the actual fee because the NI and the tax and everything else does fluctuate. So what we try and do is to say, right, well, there will be a 22% deduction regardless of your tax code, etc. And so you always know that you're always going to receive the 78%.
So as you could hear, she dodged the question. They want you to think that you're getting a good deal here, that no matter what happens, you will always get 78% of your salary back. She says the national insurance and tax sort of fluctuates. Well, it doesn't, unless your wage or the number of hours you work changes. So I did my own calculations, and based on my case, I'd be paying them around £80 a week in fees.
£80 a week. How does that compare with a legitimate umbrella company?
The industry standards is £15 to £20 a week. Over 1 year, that's up to £920 versus £3,700 for dark blue professional. While take-home might be higher, many might not realise just how much of their money is going into the pockets of the umbrella company.
That is a lot of money, isn't it? Especially for something that could cause individuals a lot of problems further down the line. I'm assuming Dark Blue Professional wasn't the only company you spoke to.
No, there's plenty of them out there and they're not that difficult to find. One broker who offered me 82% of my pay said they work with 20 umbrella companies. And another one, Tim from Contracting Scout, that's the company actively targeting workers returning to the NHS as well as COVID tracers. He said he could sign me up with an umbrella offering a 78% return. This time round, the second payment would be a supposedly non-taxable employee bonus.
To get the best after-tax return, you have to use some sort of non-standard payment mechanism. As I said, if you just do the salary method, you end up with the £502. So this umbrella company, what they're doing is they're taking advantage of a couple of tax loopholes. So as per current legislation, there's no limit on how far into the future you can push a bonus pot. So as an employee, you can be entitled to a bonus which gets paid out in 30 years or 40 years. So they just keep pushing that bonus indefinitely into the future. So as per tax law, advances on future salary are not taxable because they're not deemed to have been earned. So instead of paying you as just as a salary and giving you the 502, if they structure it this way, they can give you 573.
And once again, the second proportion of my pay would be hidden from the taxman.
So I'll get a little bit disclosed on my pay slip and then the rest would just come into my bank account.
That is correct.
So a very similar scheme here as well. And he boasted how hundreds of umbrella companies are always one step ahead of the legislation, trying to outsmart the authorities.
Government doesn't like it. They do try and legislate against it. But legislation is extremely slow, so once some new legislation moves in, and you know, there's 100 different umbrellas that pop up the next week with a different type of payment structure which doesn't get captivated by the law. So the goalposts are always moving and the providers are always trying to cater to that.
Extraordinary admission there, Anna. What has Contracting Scout had to say?
We have contacted Contracting Scout and the company's sole director for a comment, but haven't heard back. Meanwhile, the company filed an application to be struck off 3 days after I emailed them with questions about our investigation.
Well, that could, of course, be a coincidence that Contracting Scout wants to close down. What about Dark Blue Professional?
The man behind Dark Blue Professional is Jeremy Clark. He also pops up as a director of more than 30 companies, most of which have been dissolved. One of those, Ethos Solutions Limited, has been in liquidation since 2012. It ran another type of tax avoidance scheme where part of workers' salary is paid as a tax-free loan, which is never paid back. Those schemes have been attacked by HMRC and the employees involved face massive bills.
This is interesting, isn't it, that while individuals who signed up to that scheme are being pursued, Mr. Clark is offering something remarkably similar through his Dark Blue Professional company.
Correct. And I should say that we've contacted Dark Blue Professional with our allegations, but again, received no reply.
Anna Meisel. And if you're affected by any of the issues she raised or have been targeted by an agency offering you a scheme on the promise that you could keep more of your salary by paying less tax, please email us, inconfidence, moneybox@bbc.co.uk. Well, listening to Anna's report is David Pett. He's a barrister from Temple Tax Chambers, a specialist in employment taxes. David Pett, two firms there offering similar ways to avoid tax, one paying part of the salary as an investment, the other paying part of a loan against future pay. Can either of them work under the law?
Well, Paul, these individuals are agency workers. They're deemed to be employed by the agency. And the law is quite clear. They're taxable on remuneration, which is defined as every form of payment, profit, or benefit. And if that is described as something else, then that would certainly appear to be a sham. Alternatively, perhaps, they are taxable at the earlier time when their earnings from the engagements are redirected, as was the case in Glasgow Rangers, to the umbrella company. In which case, taxes is payable on the whole amount at that earlier stage. Perhaps from the individual's point of view, the The worst case analysis is if the revenue were to say that these amounts that are set aside for bonus pools or paid as investment amounts are in fact earmarked for future benefits to the employee, because in that case tax would be recoverable by HMRC under the disguised remuneration rules. And the point there is that if it's a disguised remuneration payment, the revenue can more easily sidestep the normal safeguard against recovery of tax directly from the individual, which is that they would normally have to show that the individual had knowledge of a willful failure to deduct tax. So whichever way you look at it, it seems to me that these payments are properly taxable in full.
So would you call this tax avoidance?
It would certainly appear to be tax avoidance, yes.
And some people, though, say to me about this kind of thing, well, putting money in an ISA or a pension is tax avoidance. Why is this so different?
Well, a pension or an ISA is a regime that's formally sanctioned by the government, and the legislation is very clear as to the terms on which tax benefits may be claimed. And if you stick to the rules, then you're fully entitled to a favourable tax treatment. That's not the case here.
So when the agent said they were taking advantage of a couple of tax loopholes, that wasn't the case in your view?
No, absolutely.
And one of the firms, though, did say, we do speak to tax counsel to ensure it's legal and compliant.
Oh, well, tax counsel can be wrong, as was demonstrated in the Glasgow Rangers case.
Yeah, that was the one that went to the Supreme Court, wasn't it? And they did find that the employer was liable for the payments there.
But the Supreme Court decided what the law was and had been all along. And the fact that a number of senior counsel had given opinions to the contrary, ultimately they were proved simply to be wrong.
Yeah, and how can the revenue attack such schemes? How can it stop these schemes? Because we heard there that one of them has been going for 12 years, according to the agent.
Well, the revenue do have quite extensive powers these days under legislation made in 2014 and 2017. And perhaps the most draconian is that they are able to levy civil penalties from anyone who designs, markets, or otherwise enables tax avoidance, and that can have very serious consequences.
And can I ask you, there is the general abusive avoidance rules. Would you say this was abusive tax avoidance, in a word?
Well, in order to levy such a serious penalty, the revenue first has to obtain an opinion from the GAR panel, the General Anti-Abuse Rules panel, that it is, in their opinion, abusive tax avoidance. And I would expect, on balance, that they would say it was.
David Pett, thank you very much. And people who do take part of their salary through so-called tax-free schemes do run tremendous risks. One type of scheme attracted 50,000 people in the past. Part of their salary was paid as a tax-free loan. But now, after new laws were passed, they face massive tax bills. Earlier, I spoke to Jack, an IT consultant who was paid in this way. I asked him what HMRC was demanding from him now.
According to them, £450,000. Add to that another £100,000 in interest and inheritance tax. So if I try to settle, it's £550,000.
So that's more than £500,000. How long did that take to build up?
That was from 2006 until 2016, so just 10 years.
So £50,000 a year. Did you save £50,000 a year in tax?
Absolutely not. This is one of the annoying things, is that we paid, well, I paid 20% in fees, and that should have been covering taxes and fees and the kickback that my accountant got. So compare that to a limited company, I save 1% maybe. So too good to be true is a myth.
So you saved almost nothing, you say. Why did you go into it? Did you know it was a tax dodge?
Absolutely had no idea about it being a tax dodge. I was going to start a limited company, And my accountant absolutely said no because of IR35 at the time. The threat of IR35 and what was happening in 2001, so everyone was afraid of that. It was never about tax or tax avoidance.
Yeah, so IR35 was the way the government tried to treat contractors as if they were employees. We won't go into the complex details, but you were afraid of that, of being caught by that.
Absolutely, as was everybody at the time. That's why the schemes were so popular, if you like.
I mean, you have kind of answered this, but I'm sure there will still be people shouting at the radio and saying, I'm very sorry you owe £500,000, but it was a tax dodge. You didn't pay your taxes.
As I said, it was never about tax. And consider that I paid 20% in fees and taxes and the kickback that my accountant got. If I started Limit Company, I would have paid 21%. So would I really go to that effort for 1%?
If you'd been an employee, I guess you would have paid 40%, though, because I imagine you were a higher rate taxpayer.
I probably would have been, but then I would not have been a contractor, which means I would have had holiday pay, I would have had paternity pay, I would have had sick leave, I would have had training, everything a contractor doesn't have, and job security with more than a week's notice.
And finally, Jack, I'm sure most people listening, if they were faced with a £500,000 debt, would pretty much collapse. How has this affected you and your family?
Depths of depression, anxiety, basically just pulled back within myself, snapped at my wife, really bad time, wife and kids, because all you do is you think about this, you go to bed, you dream about it, you get up, you think about it. I remember driving along the motorway once and this thing being so in my head, I almost caused a pile up on the motorway. It absolutely takes over everything in your life and it just kills you.
And what about the future? Do you still believe you'll have to pay that much, or is there a way of perhaps reducing it and spreading it over many years, which HMRC has told me that they will allow?
I would be bankrupt. I'd have to sell up everything and probably go on the dole or something.
That is the only way out?
There is no other way. Who's got £500,000 to pay, even if it's over 10 years, £50,000 a year? How do you pay that and still survive?
Well, listening to that and all of this is the Conservative MP David Davis, a former cabinet minister, and he's campaigned against HMRC pursuing people like Jack for these life-changing sums. David Davis, in March you asked Parliament to try and get HMRC to treat people like Jack better, but what's your reaction to our investigation earlier that schemes similar to the ones you've campaigned about are still being openly sold, maybe for the last 12 years?
Yeah, well, this is the extraordinary thing, really. I mean, understand that this has been going on for a long time. I mean, your lawyer said, well, the court decided, the Supreme Court decided this was always wrong. But before that Supreme Court decided that, two other courts decided it was okay. So the law was incredibly confused. And HMRC and the Treasury are responsible for that. So that's the first thing to make. Second point to make on this, I mean, I don't know Jack's circumstances, but many of these people are not very high-paid IT workers. They're locum nurses. They're ordinary contract workers. People who did not know that they were being drawn into this. And listening to the conversation you broadcast between, what was the name of the company, Dark Blue
Professional,
and your reporter, it's clear how they were sucked into this sort of thing. So what's happened is that HMRC has allowed this still to go on even after the law has changed and allowed these companies to continue to exist. The people they should be pursuing, not the individuals, you know, which has caused seven suicides and Lord knows how many destroyed lives, but the companies that start them.
But HMRC has said to us that it's published warnings in its own publications, it's got them in the press, it advises people not to have anything to do, and it's also taken litigation against promoter businesses who don't disclose tax avoidance schemes.
Well, I have to say, the litigation against promoter business doesn't seem to have worked very well, does it? I mean, you talked about a director whose name I've forgotten, who'd been the director of many companies that had dissolved or disappeared. That's a classic tactic. Well, why is the HMRC not going after directors in this context and saying you're unfit to be a director? Why are they not stopping them creating new companies? Why are they not actually treating this as a criminal offence, as you know, if it's a breach of the law, it should be.
And in brief, do you think the government has sufficient power to do that, or HMRC has sufficient power to do that?
Yeah, it's got the power. The trouble is, it's easier to go after the small fry who owe them, not necessarily £500,000, but 10, 20, 30, 40,000 pounds, who can't defend themselves, rather than go after sophisticated investors, sophisticated directors with clever lawyers to protect them and tax counsel to give them advice. That's the hard target, but that's the target that will stop this happening. Going after the others is nothing more than putting money ahead of natural justice.
David Davis, thanks. And we did ask for an interview with the Treasury Minister, Jesse Norman, and the boss of HMRC, Jim Harrop. Both said no. HMRC told us it's shocking that unscrupulous promoters of tax avoidance schemes are targeting returning NHS workers. Our advice has always been to steer clear of these. And we have made HMRC aware of the contents of this broadcast. That's all we have time for in this Moneybox podcast. Let us know in confidence if you've been targeted by a firm that offers to pay you more because you will pay less tax. Our email is moneybox@bbc.co.uk, and you can DM our Twitter account @Moneybox, both in confidence. And of course, you can use those same addresses to keep us in touch with your financial thoughts and fears during these strange times. We do read them all, and you never know, you might get on the programme. If you enjoyed this podcast, why not subscribe or listen live? We're live on air every Saturday at midday, and on Wednesday afternoons, the team is back again, live with Moneybox Live, answering your questions about a burning money matter. Well, not burning your money, but you know what I mean. In this podcast, the reporter was Anna Meisel, the producer, Alex Lewis, studio engineers, Robbie Haywood, Emma Halligan, production coordinator, Janet Staples, the editor is Emma Rippon, I'm Paul Lewis, and this was a Radio Current Affairs production for BBC Sounds. And now,
I find quantum mechanics confusing today.
Hello, I'm Brian Cox.
And I'm Robin Ince, and the Infinite Monkey Cage is back for a new series, and we are dealing with so many fantastic ideas. And even better, no one that we've asked has got an alibi for getting out of doing the show. So in this series, we have got one of the first episodes alone. We talk about the end of the universe with Brian Green, Katie Mack, Eric Idle and Steve Martin. Yes, you heard that. Steve Martin and Eric Idle are joining us. Anyway, enjoy the new series. We're having a fantastic time making it. Brian's particularly enjoying it because he's hundreds of miles away from me and they're just using technology to create some sense of proximity. That's the great thing about it all.
That's The Infinite Monkey Cage on BBC Sounds now. Well, not now. I mean, there's no unique definition of now in physics. It's simultaneity is relative. It's on BBC Sounds, anyway.
Unless you've got that Robin Ince and Professor Cox, I'd leave that poor pussy alone in its box. That cat may be as dead as a rat. You can wage in the infinite monkey.